So it's June 1st, a day that I have been repeatedly told is if your player is not performing up to par, is when you have the right to start panicking, to start seeing what else is out there, and potentially make the move. Now, the name that I have brought up, because I know Scotty owns him in a league, it's not like against Scott, it's just a name that we could all discuss,
is
Kyle Schwarber, because I think he's like a perfect example for this. Because Kyle Schwarber was an early round draft pick in some leagues like Yahoo. He had catcher eligibility. Like, this was a guy that a lot of people got in on because you saw him in the World Series. He came back, this big hulking dude, and you knew of all of this potential that he could give you. He was this 30 home run dude that was going to hit for power in the middle of a sick Cubs lineup, get on base at a fantastic rate, and be a big value source for you. 100%. It is June 1st. We are about 2 months in to the regular season. Kyle Schwarber is batting 165.
170.
No, it's 170.
He went up 5 points last night. No, he went 0-for-4 last night.
Says 165. Whether it's 165 or 170,
he stinks.
It's still crappy.
It's not great. He's got on the season 8 homers, 22 runs scored, and 19 ribbies. Counting stats are could be worse. We'll do it like that. I look at Kyle Schwarber today, and to me, especially in a league where he's not catcher eligible, there are going to be outfielders on the waiver wire that are currently performing better than Kyle Schwarber. Like, there's not a dispute about that. Like, let's look at Tommy Pham for a second, right? Like, this dude's batting 320. 5 homers, a couple less than Schwarber, but he's played less games than Schwarber, obviously. 14 ribbies and a 15 runs scored. No one gets excited for Tommy Pham. I realize that. Ryan Schimpf, 168, which according to this, a higher average for the record than Kyle Schwarber. He's got more home runs, he has more RBI, he has more runs scored. All these counting stats better than Kyle Schwarber. But the reason Scotty won't cut Kyle Schwarber for Ryan Schimpf is because he just said Ryan Schimpf's going to bat 140. And I said Kyle Schwarber's not going to bat much better. Right?
Like, but see, here's the thing.
They're the same guy, though, right now. And here, to give you the honest opinion on it right now, the honest assessment on it right now is that I can pick up Ryan Schimpf, and I can pick up Tommy Pham, and I have other guys on my roster who are complete dead weight, like Yoli Chacin and Alex Wilson, and I can still keep Schwarber and hope he turns it around.
Sure.
Especially in a 15-team league. And those are the only two free agents out there that we can even make this argument about. If I don't get them, if I don't bid them up, there's nobody else out there. I'm going to cut those guys.
Listen, I agree with you, Scotty, that I'm cutting Alex Wilson, cutting Yoli Chacin before I'm cutting Kyle Schwarber, right? Like, I'm not disagreeing with that at all.
Right.
But
and I'm agreeing with you that it's totally legitimate to panic and consider it at this point. And in a 12-team league, you might go.
Right. So, again, those two guys need to go before Schwarber, right? Like, we're not in disagreement with that remotely.
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden this week there's a third guy that gets out there, some minor league prospect gets called up, whatever, and there's a third guy, I don't think, given that we're 2 months in, like, it's time to be like, okay, Kyle Schwarber's potential is telling me this. It's June 1st already.
But his BABIP is 204.
I get it.
So, you know what I mean? That's going to change. He's still walking at a nice clip, you know what I mean? Striking out, like, way too much, almost 30% of the time. But this is my thing, though, Greg. If you think this dude is still going to hit 250 and 25 home runs, why get rid of him now? You ate all the bad parts of the season, and then when he get on his tail, he going to be on somebody else's team? I think you got to stick. I think especially in the 15-team league, you got to hang in there, because when he raises his average to 250, when he hits 25 home runs, you don't want that to be on somebody else's team, and you ate the 170.
Listen, the thing with a guy like Schwarber is, sorry, Matt, the thing with a guy like Schwarber is, he could have two bad months, and then he could have two months where he rips it up.
I don't own any Kyle Schwarber, but I wouldn't cut him neither. I mean, I'm probably going to hold on to Randall Grichuk in some 15-team leagues just because of his makeup, the fly balls, the hard hit percentage, and hopefully he straightens his swing out. You're not going to get these guys. I mean, if we look last season, people cut in 12-team leagues. We're cutting Brian Dozier.
100%.
Brian Dozier. Even a guy like Justin Turner from June 1st on. If we look at Devin Travis and Jose Bautista, April versus May. Look at Eric Thames. His April was nobody would trade him. And now people are like, you know, he's
another guy now.
But in May, Even though he's batted 220, he's hitting the ball hard at a 40% rate. He's got a 42% fly. This is a guy you need to buy right now. An Eric Thames kind of guy who, in just under 100 plate appearances, is batting 220. The shine has worn off a bit. This is where you make your profit. This is where you make your run for the rest of the season.
And again, June 1st is panic day. But to what level do you panic? I panicked by putting them on the bench. There's different levels of panic, and I think cutting those guys in 15-team leagues is still too much of a panic move. I don't disagree with you. I said June 1st is panic day. I stick by it, but to what level am I panicking? I'm not cutting guys of that stature in a 15-team league. I'm just not doing it.
I think Greg's perspective is coming more from a 12-team.
And Scott, and Scott has said repeatedly this morning, like, listen, if you're in a 12-team league and there's a guy out there, hey, you got a decision to make. He said that 1,000%.
It's something I'd strongly consider.
It's a decision you have to make.
Yeah. I think people with Kyle Schwarber this year, I think Kyle Schwarber is going to be a really good ball player. I think he has a very good future ahead of him. The reason I wasn't so excited about him was, he missed all of last season. He pretty much missed a whole year of development for him. And as great as he came back for the playoffs or whatever, that run, that was wonderful. But he still had some holes in his game. He's still young. And to be taking him in the sixth round to me was like, even like people were taking David Dahl in the sixth round. I didn't get that. I mean, I was taking Benintendi like three or four rounds later, who's another young guy who's hit a slump, but I think he's proven he's hit everywhere, and I think he'll make that adjustment. So, I mean, I just, in a 15-team league, as much as the negatives I'm giving about Schwarber, I couldn't cut him.
He can't hurt me on my bench, and I can stash him there for what he can still do.
Completely true. That's completely true. Let me ask this then. In a 15-team league, if what you're saying is fair, right? Like, especially, you know, Corey, he's dealt with a bad, now, like, why don't you reap some reward? I understand that. June 1st, this guy is planted on your bench right now, obviously. Like, yeah. He's not getting up unless there's some major injuries that
especially if I just acquired Pilar, you know, and Benintendi.
Right. Benintendi's his own problem, so go worry about that. But I'm just kidding.
I think he's going to turn around.
I'm just kidding.
I didn't believe in it.
He's just egging you.
I'm egging you because I traded him away to you. Yeah. What day will you, I guess more realistically, say, listen, Kyle Schwarber, I need the spot.
You're going to give up by the 4th of July?
4th of July, like that's like the next point, right?
Can I give instance?
If by mid-July he's still hitting
the All-Star break?
By the All-Star break?
Is he still batting under 200?
He's still batting under 200. There's no end in sight. I think I have to consider it.
Okay.
Here's a good comp. Going into this weekend in Fab, Jorge Bonifacio was available. I got him in a couple.
So did I.
But would you cut Kyle Schwarber for Jorge Bonifacio? I personally wouldn't. If I had Schwarber,
it's a very hard move to pull a trigger, Hunt. It's a very hard move to pull a trigger on.
I picked up Bonifacio this week and kept Schwarber.
Yeah. Right. So I picked up Bonifacio and dropped whoever as well. Like, it is very, very hard, I realized, to pull that trigger on your star. I love people that are in June that talk about, like, well, I drafted this guy in the second round. Like, I'm not trying. That means nothing now. But still, I don't know where did you draft Kyle Schwarber?
Fourth round?
It's very hard to just give up on the fourth rounder. It is, to this day. I understand that. I know the logic is silly, because if he's not performing, he's not performing, but it's very, very hard to make that decision.
Even though what you say is fair, in my mind right now, at this point, with 2 months in, where guys are drafted at this point really doesn't make a big difference.
But people will see that. You're right in what you're saying, but the other guy is going to be like, I paid this price, and I'm not. I want something of value. I think people, what I hate in the first 2 months, I mean, I've seen it on Twitter, people saying like, oh, I told you so on Tim Anderson like a couple of weeks ago. Tim Anderson right now is batting 262. This is not directed at you, Greg.
But it can be if we like it to.
No, but listen, he's batting 262. He's got six homers, 24 runs, and 15. Last year, in 99 games, he had 9 homers and 30 RBIs. So he's got almost as many homers, half the RBIs, and he's batting 20 points below his average. And we still haven't seen his speed. So, you know, it's just to people out there, Don't say, you know, you're right after 6 weeks, and then you look like a fool 2 weeks later.
Yeah. The two words I can give you, and Scott can certainly attest to this, would be Mookie Betts. Because he started out in a terrible April last year, and I'm dancing in the Mothership Studios. And Scott's like, all right, well, I mean, if he sucks by July 4th, like, no problem. And all of a sudden, he goes on out of this unbelievable season.
Yeah.
And Scott doesn't even say a word to me. He just stares at me like, Very simply.
Yes, and I also traded you Carter Glover yesterday.